Welcome to Yes Catholic, the place where real people share their real stories and realize it is all God's grace on the move. I'm your host, David Patterson, and every week we hear a new guest share their story of how they came to give their yes to Jesus and His church. So let's get started. Tonight we have Father Dan Rehill. Welcome, Father. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your story.
Good to be with you. I'm happy to join you.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know you, why don't you share a little bit about yourself before we dive into the rapid fire to get to know you more?
Okay. So I'm the oldest of four kids. I was born in 1965 at the tail end of Vatican II. I had my own ideas about the church as it was forming its new way. And in the Northeast where I lived, I sensed there was something off about the way, not necessarily the liturgy, but I had weird encounters with several priests, and it put me off in a way where I made a decision I wanted to be not part of the church, and I pursued wealth and status. And for whatever reason, God kind of rewarded that or let it happen. And I became a Wall Street banker, did that for many years, was very successful. Although not happy, you know, I had all the trappings of success, but none of the joy. And it was kind of just about in 1998 when I was renting a villa in Amalfi, and a friend called me and said, I'm going to this place in Bosnia where the war just ended. Can you come over? It's just across the Adriatic. And I looked at a map and said, oh, it's so easy. And this must just be like Italy. It'll have good wine and good food. It'll be great. And I wound up in Medjugorje. And of course, they're like 100 years behind us. And there was no good wine and there was no good food. And it was really, there was no hotel. We were sleeping in these people's homes. And I said, oh my gosh, I don't belong here. Everybody here is praying and they're doing the rosary. And I wanted to get out, but I stayed because I was tired. And the next morning when I woke up, had a profound experience of God's love. And all of my anxiety and hatred and fear and everything that was manifesting in me was washed away, you know, without confession. Imagine that. This was a total gift of God. And I felt great. I felt so good. I said, if it feels like this to be here, I'm staying the whole week. Wow. And I knew I had to get myself right with God if I was going to participate in liturgy and the mass. So I marched over to the church looking for a priest that was going to be very sympathetic to a poor sinner. And there was this, I call him the Hollywood priest. He's standing outside. He has like 10 women around him. He's telling jokes, smoking his cigarette. And I go, that's the guy. So I walked up to him and I said, can I trouble you to hear my confession?
Right.
And he says, oh, of course. And we sit down and I'll never forget it. He's still smoking his cigarette. And I was like, are you going to put the cigarette out? I feel like it should be out if we're having the sacrament.
Right.
It was a weird thing because here I am away from the church for all those years. He puts it out. Here's my very long and salty confession. And he absolves me. And then he says, I think you have a vocation to be a priest. And I look at him and I
need you to pause for just a second. I've never had this happen before. My laptop is plugged in
and it's real time.
It's saying it's going to shut down. I've never had this happen before. Just 2 seconds. Never has that happened before. Like it
happens to me all the time.
So your vocation was about to be announced. I feel like we need to say the St. Michael prayer before we continue. This is crazy.
Yeah, let's do that. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him. We humbly pray and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Hosts,
by the power of God, cast into hell
Satan, all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, in the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen. As you were saying,
just had an image of blockage happening as we were praying that. But this does happen to me all the time. This is my life. So welcome to it.
Yes. Understood.
But it's, you know, it gives you a real taste of this is a true battle. It's not just, you know, something we read about 2000 years ago. And the last 2 days we're reading about Jesus casting out demons at the Mass. Right. This is going on every day. It's real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, I am, and he hears, and he says, I think you're going to be a priest. And I'm thinking, well, I don't think you understand English. He was a Franciscan friar from Croatia. And I was like, well, thank you, but I have to go. And I plugged in the whole week. If anybody's been on a pilgrimage, they know the pilgrimage is easy because that you're having the mountaintop experience. It's all blessed and God's filling you with his love. When you get home is when the hard work starts. Right. And for me, I'm a very all or nothing guy. I'm either in or out. It's mm-hmm. no middle ground. So I went all in and I cut the relationships off that were unhealthy. I joined the Wall Street Young Catholics Association to make new friendships with, you know, people that would be more in that vein. Started going to Mass every day, walking to work so I could pray the rosary. And within about 6 weeks, I was what you would call a fully practicing Catholic, even more so. I'm going to Mass every day.
Wow.
And confession once a month. And eventually one of the priests at that church, the church, by the way, is Our Lady of Victory, which is no coincidence.
Right.
This church back in the day had three masses before 9 a.m. This is Monday through Friday. Three masses before 9 a.m., three masses during lunch, and three masses after 5 o'clock. They had 9 daily masses during the week. Can you imagine?
That's a lot.
And confession all day. And it was just – so when I came back and I entered into this parish, I'm like, you know, I was like, wow. You know, I thought that was the normal thing. Like, everybody does this. So as I eventually branched out of there, I'm like, oh, these churches only have Mass once a day. You know, I was kind of surprised by that. But anyway.
Confessions on Saturday.
Yeah. Or by appointment. So, I'm, you know, slogging through, and this priest says I should have a director. And I'm like, okay. And he takes me under his wing and starts pushing me towards praying. You should pray this prayer once a day, every day. What is that prayer, Father? What do you want me to do with my life? That was the prayer. Mm-hmm. I go, I can do that. I like it. It's short. It's pithy. No big demonstrations of all this other stuff. And I prayed it for a week, came back and said, he didn't talk to me. I guess he wants me to stay in this business. And this priest sits me down and he goes, so you left God and his church for 20 years. You came back and you've been back, you know, a few months. You prayed for 1 week and God didn't answer you. And you think that's okay that you give up. And I go, okay, you're making me sound stupid now. He goes, no, you are stupid. Keep praying. So I prayed it for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 18 months later on November 5th of 2000. I'm at 7:30 a.m. Mass on a Sunday back in my parish where I grew up. And right after communion, I'm sitting in the pew, kneeling, praying, and I hear a voice say, come follow me, audibly, outside my head. So I turn around, and there's nobody within pew's reach.
Wow.
And I go, oh, okay, so you're finally speaking to me. Okay, I will follow you. I don't know where we're going to go, but I'll follow you. And I really didn't know, because I don't know anything about how this works.
And how old were you at that point? When you heard those words?
99, 2000, probably 35, 6. Okay. My conversion happened at 33.
Okay.
That was in 98. I remember thinking, I remember thinking, wow, that's pretty sad. Everything he accomplished by this age, I'm now starting at this age. Mm-hmm. My my rebirth is happening when he already is done. And of course he's God, so I'm not holding myself to the same, you know, level, but I'm like, I feel like I'm behind the eight ball a little bit. But, you know, God works in his own way.
Absolutely. And
so we launch out, and that was the beginning of my path to the priesthood, which was long and arduous. You know, I at that point, I'm very much in my own head. Even though I've converted, I'm still operating over the same premises that I'm used to, right? Like we all do this. So your personality doesn't change overnight.
Right.
So I basically resigned from my job, and I'm now going to pursue this. So I get big spreadsheets. I put them all over my walls of my apartment. You know, every religious order, charism, location, and most importantly, how many years to be ordained. My first knock on the door was the Legionnaires of Christ. I'm like, these guys are like Navy SEALs. I want to join them. 12 years. I went up and visited them. They said, you're not for us.
Okay.
I had a full beard at the time, and I noticed right away everybody's very clean cut.
Right.
I was like, okay, whatever. But 12 years, no, I don't think that's for me. Dominicans, 12 years, no. Even Jesuits, 12 years, no. Diocesan priest, 4 years. Ah, let's try that.
Okay.
So I go to my diocesan chancery, unannounced. I walk in. Can I talk to the vocation director? And the secretary's like, actually, he's right here today. Yes, hold on. I go in. It's the priest who married me. I was married for 5 years. He looks at me and he goes, no, no, no. You are not called to be a priest. Get out. I'm like, okay. So God's making it very simple. I'm not called here. I'll keep moving on.
Right.
And he gave me a resiliency that I normally don't have with stuff like this. I mean, I'm normally pretty combative. And I was just like, okay, whatever, that's fine. And eventually it led me to a point where I couldn't do anything. I was 6 months from being ordained a deacon, and all the doors shut. And I was without a diocese, and I was working with my rector at the seminary. He's like, the bishops don't want you. You're now pushing 40. You're a New York banker. You don't look good on paper. And I'm like, oh, wow. So I said, you know what, Lord, if you want me to be ordained, you know, you have a bishop call me.
Wow.
And I was just, I was being like kind of a jerk.
Well, you're basically asking God to flex in a way.
I'm like, I'm a little bit angry about this. This has been an 11-year thing, and I thought you were moving me into this, and I only did this because I thought you wanted me to do it, and now I feel like the doors are closing. So, like, you do it if you want to do it.
You're the one that said over my shoulder, "Come follow
me." I literally put it back on the altar and said, "This is your vocation. You know that if you want it, let it happen." And I was going back to work. And about 3 months later, the Bishop of Nashville called me, and I pick up the phone one day, and he says, "Hello, this is Bishop David Chobe of Nashville. Is this Daniel Rehill?" And I said, yes, but I don't know who this guy is. So I'm like, how do you even know who I am? I was thinking it was a joke. And he goes, well, this priest told me about you. And I said, oh, well, that kind of makes sense. And he flew me out to Nashville. He was the most generous bishop I've ever met in my life. I stayed with him a week in his house, just the two of us. And he cooked me breakfast every morning. He had me drive him to his meetings. We'd go out to dinner at night, and in the late evening, we'd have a scotch on the porch, and he would ask me questions about everything under the sun, you know, marriage, commitment, priesthood, sacrifice, everything. And after a week, imagine a bishop spending a week with somebody. He says to me, I like you. I think you'd be a good priest for me. Why don't you come to Nashville? And that was it.
Wow.
Got me to Nashville.
Wow.
So that, you know, God works in strange ways. And
yeah.
I would have never chosen Nashville. I had never been to Tennessee before he flew me in.
Incredible.
And here I am. And I'm very happy.
And Father, did you experience a peace during that time when that door did finally open for you?
Oh,
when
yeah.
When he asked you to move there. Was there a piece?
Tremendous.
Of
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how God gives you his thumbs up is with his, when you get the peace, even in a storm, he can give you peace.
Yes.
And that's how you know he's moving you through it.
Absolutely. Wow. What a story. Powerful. And so what led you, you were in the diocese and then you've been on social media speaking about being an exorcist. What led you into that?
Into exorcism.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was a contemplative hermit for 5 years.
Right.
And part of the charism of this community was exorcism and deliverance. And my superior over the men was the exorcist of Omaha. And so I'm one of the bigger guys. I'm a larger American. So I was always one of the guys that would be chosen to like restrain the victim during the exorcism. So I was part and parcel of a lot of that stuff. So right away, God was already preparing me for this stuff.
Yeah.
And when I got to Nashville, the bishop knew about our community. And he said to me and another priest from the community, he said, "Well, you two, would you be willing to do the deliverance for our diocese?" And we were like, "Of course." So I was doing it already before being an exorcist. And then sadly that bishop died and the new bishop came in, and I only work under the authority of the bishop. That's what the exorcist does. It's by Jesus's authority through the bishop.
Right.
So all this had to stop until we had a new bishop. So when the new bishop came, he's suddenly getting inundated with a lot of requests. "Please send Father Dan to us. Please send Father Dan to us." So he calls, he's like, "Why is everybody requesting you to come to their parish?" And I said, "Oh, I do the deliverance for the diocese." And he goes, "Are you the exorcist?" I said, "Well, no, we don't have an exorcist."
Right.
The prior bishop didn't want to burden a priest with that responsibility. And he said, "You know, I have a different view. I feel like you're fighting with your hands tied behind your back. I want to send you to Rome and get trained as an exorcist and then come back and do it." So that's how it happened.
And how long did you have to go to Rome to train?
It wasn't very long, a few weeks.
Oh, okay.
They have an intense program that goes from like 7 a.m. to like 7 p.m. every day for like a few weeks.
Right.
And then they set you up with a mentor in your home country, and you work from there.
Okay. Wow. And the impact has been absolutely incredible from what I've seen on social media, as well as being invited to speak at various parishes and events. Like, doing amazing work, Father.
Well, it's his work. My posture as a priest is I'll always say yes if I'm available.
Right.
And if I'm not, you know, I can't, because I already have a commitment.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of the way I roll.
Mm. It was about a week ago where I went to confession, and the priest had encouraged me to pray the Litany of Humility on a daily basis. And I'm going to be honest, just from a personal perspective,
it's harsh.
It's harsh,
yeah.
But the impact has been incredible. Why do you think that litany is so important?
Because it shakes you into reality.
Mm.
Like we go through life in 2024 in America.
Yep.
We're kind of living in this alternate world where we think we're so important, and we think a lot of things that aren't really true, but you get groomed into that by the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're worth it. You deserve it. You've earned it.
Right.
And when you pray that litany, you're like, "Oh my gosh, what is this? This is an entirely different mind bender."
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then when you realize, you know, this is the reality of how saints are made, then you want to do it. You're like, okay, this sets us apart. You know, it's kind of like to be anointed means to set apart. And when you pray that litany, it's like, this is how we are set apart. We're not going to be the loud, proud, and arrogant one that's screaming and yelling at the meeting. We're going to be the quiet intercessor on the side, like Our Lady. Imagine at the foot of the cross, all those people spitting at her son, mocking him, ridiculing him. And she did nothing. She quietly prayed, probably for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's humility.
Yeah. It's so interesting you're saying that, because another challenge that I was given was to actually pray the rosary, but through the eyes of St. Joseph. And I've never done that before. I found it so interesting, like the Annunciation. the nativity, right? Trying to find room, but from the perspective of Joseph.
Yeah.
And that same day, so I went home, prayed the joyful mysteries through the eyes of St. Joseph. And then that afternoon, a nun texted me saying that I'm going to ask St. Joseph to pray for you.
Wow.
And I was like, that's interesting timing.
Yeah.
So I told her, and then a buddy of mine that night sent me a podcast titled Go to Joseph. And it was by Bishop Barron. And he quoted in the podcast Hildebrandt, where he said that the saints disappear into the mission of the church. They don't draw people to themselves, but they disappear into the mission of building the kingdom. And it's really, I've been reflecting on it all week. It's powerful.
It's amazing. It's funny you say that, because when we train our altar servers, and you know, they're coming in, they don't know anything about what's going on. They've been to mass, some of them daily mass goers, but until you do it, it's very daunting. And they even freeze up. They're like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do next. So the first few weeks were like, you're going to be a potted plant. All you have to do is get into the church and find your seat and then just stay there and then get out of the church. Can you do that? And they're like, we can do that.
Yeah.
But one of the lessons about being a server is you should never be noticed. Mm. If they're noticing you, you're failing in your job. You should be blending into the back of the wall.
Right.
And if you're making movements or scurrying or too agitated and your attention's drawing to you, you're drawing attention away from Jesus.
Mm.
And that's how they're trained. And so they are so good about being invisible.
Right.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was an altar server growing up, so it's interesting to reflect on that for sure. That's great. If someone was discerning the priesthood, you've definitely had your own share of discernment.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you get to someone who's still wrestling with that?
Go to Our Lady. Our Lady is choosing the priests these days. She's handpicking them. I know this for a fact. Almost every vocation I talk to is like, there's something of Our Lady in it. And that's not because she's bigger than God. It's because Jesus is designating her to do this. And I find Our Lady's priests are solid as a rock, devout, humble, and very devoted to the Eucharist. And so if you're discerning priesthood, go to Our Lady. Like you said, go to Joseph. I would say go to Our Lady.
Go to Our Lady. Go to Holy Family, James.
Go to both.
Exactly. That's right. Another question that came in earlier in the week was, how can I help friends that are a part of a different religion? Any thoughts there, Father?
Be a good witness. That's it in a nutshell. If you are a solid witness to the faith, if you are kind, if you are gentle, if you are meek, if you are humble, if you are compassionate, but if you are also, don't water down the faith, be all those things and be true, you will be a light, a beacon that people want to seek out. And they'll want to know what's different about you. We shouldn't bend to any other religion. We should be who we are, but be it like Jesus was. Be the Beatitudes.
Absolutely. Another question that you had was in regards to social media. It was interesting to read. So it says, do you think that posting yourself on social media cannot be vain or have a good purpose? Any thoughts on that?
100%. It can be not vain, and it can have a good purpose. I've never been on social media until about 4 months ago, when a mutual friend of us approached me and said, you have great content. Nobody hears it.
Right.
You need to do something. And he said, I can do this for you and you never have to go on. I will chop up your stuff, put it out there, make it available to attract people to the faith. And I said, if you can do that, we'll take a test run and do it. So we did it for a few months, and instantly it was like he'd post something, it would get a million views in 2 days. And it's mostly under 40s. So 40 and under.
Mm-hmm.
And they can find me because you can Google who I am and where I am, and they start sending me emails. I'm getting lots of emails from, you know, Gen Z, Gen X people who have lots of good questions and they want to know, I never heard this before. I didn't know this. Teach me more. So it actually is working. It's attracting them. And then he has, at the end of these posts, he'll put, you know, to listen to Father Dan daily, you can go to Battle Ready.
That's right.
Yeah. Click here, right there. Boom. And they're listening and they're learning. Mm-hmm. So it's having a good effect. You know, Jesus didn't have this available 2,000 years ago. I think if he was here today, I can't say for certain, but I think if he had a way to attract more people without diminishing the message, he would use it. I don't know for sure, but so far it's been pretty positive.
Well, I mean, if you think about St. Paul and evangelizing, right, we've got the Daughters of St. Paul, and they're doing a great, great work on social media as well with their TikTok and Reels always being posted.
Yeah. You have to be careful, though, because you don't want to become, you don't want to become the message. It's very easy for you to become like, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware of that, and I don't want to be that guy. I have other friends like Monsignor Rossetti. There's a priest down in Texas, this young guy, David Michael Moses.
Oh, yeah.
He's brilliant at this.
He's a good man.
And it can be done. It can be done.
Absolutely. But I think the idea of keeping yourself in check on a regular basis. I remember when I felt called to launch Yes Catholic, it was a lot of time being at the tabernacle, just saying out loud to the Lord, Jesus, this is not my ministry. This is yours. You know, and if there are attachments, like help me to just remember that it's about you, right?
Yeah.
Because I am human.
Right? Well, that's a good point. You know, I have a holy hour every morning from 6 to 7.
Yep.
But my holy hour comes before that holy hour so that I get my own holy hour. And it's non-negotiable because if I don't have that time with the Lord, I need to be filled up first so mm-hmm. that when I go out into the world, I'm bringing the graces he gives me in that holy hour out there. So that's a good point.
It's a cup that overflows, right?
Yeah.
You got a question in the chat from Terry. Thank you, Terry. It says, my atheist niece, who I haven't seen in years, texts me and is looking for God through a Protestant church. She says she knows nothing about the Catholic Church. Where do I start? Any thoughts there?
What does she mean by the where do I start? What does she say to her?
She said that she's looking for God. And she knows nothing about the Catholic Church.
But this woman is Catholic.
I believe so.
Well, I would say I know nothing of the Protestant Church. So let me start with what I know.
Mm.
And then start, here is what we believe. And here is the tenets of the Catholic faith that I live. Yeah. And this is what gets me through the tough times in my life. This is where I feel supported by Jesus. Because he is literally alive and in persona Christi in the church where I go. It's not a symbol. He's literally staying. He's there. When I go visit, it's the same Jesus that walked with the disciples in that church. So I would start there and see where God and pray to the Holy Spirit, you know, to lead you.
Absolutely. Great advice, Father. What would you say is your hope for the future of the church? I ask every guest this every single time, and I just love asking it.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's my hope, that we would finally get to a point where we're doing things in perfect harmony with God's will. And he wouldn't give us that prayer unless there was a way to get to it. Mm. So I believe it's going to happen.
And based on your own experiences, what do you think a Catholic should be doing on a daily basis to draw closer to God?
Well, it depends on your state of life. But, you know, if you can get to Mass every day, that's the most important thing that happens on the planet, bar none. I am the only Catholic church in my county. Wow. And so I tell my parishioners, this is the most important building in Murray County, because this is the only place where God comes down from heaven every day and dwells in this church. And this is the only place where he absolves sinners from all their sins. So the police department, the hospital, the county clerk, all those are great. They don't compare to this building. This is the most. And you get to come here and worship. How great is that for you? So that's the most important. Secondly, The rosary has a particular protection over people and their families.
Mm-hmm.
He has said this over and over and over again. If you pray my rosary, particularly as a family, I will protect your families. Is she going to protect you from death? No, because death is the chariot that gets you to the goal of heaven. So it's not going to prevent you from dying. It's going to help you get to heaven. So if you're worried about your kids or your grandkids, start praying the rosary today. Don't start tomorrow, today. That is the most powerful prayer right now. And of course, if you can get to adoration, I would say monthly confession at a minimum. Fasting unlocks the keys to God's power. Don't try to tackle everything at once, because you'll be overwhelmed and you'll stop everything and you'll walk away. Take one thing, do it for a month. When you get comfortable, take on the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going, you know, moderation, even with religion, is not a bad thing. You have, because you want to, once you get that little flame of faith in your heart, you have to protect it. Just like if you started a fire out in the wilderness, you know, with the flint. You know, once, it takes a while to get that little fire going, and then you want to keep it really safe till you get really blazing, and then you can walk away and go find the food. But right, keep it protected in the early stages.
I love that. On that note, Father, I just want to thank you so much for your yes to Jesus and his church. It's just been such a gift to be able to hear you share your story and how God's moved in your life. What a blessing. You can hear the graces just throughout your journey.
Appreciate it.
If people want to learn more or connect, how can they do so?
Battle Ready. I'm on it Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m.
Radio
Eastern.
RadioMaria.us. Yep.
That's it. And I mean, I'm out there. You know, Grady has done a good job. I'm everywhere now.
Well, thank you so much again. Would you be able to close us in prayer tonight?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon this ministry and all the listeners, that they would be filled with your glory, your power, your joy, your peace, your hope, and that this would go forth as a great witness to the world of your love and your mercy for mankind. We ask you to bless and hold these people in your hearts and fill them with final perseverance to the end, that one day they would all praise you forever in heaven. And I bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the ministry, please share with others, post about it on social media, or please leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest stories, you can follow us on Instagram at yes.catholic and visit our website, yescatholic.com. If you have benefited from Yes Catholic, please consider joining our Patreon community. Visit patreon.com/yescatholic. I would like to thank our current patrons for your ongoing prayers, support, and contributions that have helped Yes Catholic reach thousands of souls all over the world each week. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you." You have a story. Don't be afraid to share the good news of how Jesus Christ has moved in your life with a family member, friend, or colleague. Give Jesus your yes every single day and watch the ripple effect of the gospel. Join us next week. The journey continues right here at Yes Catholic.